sure why. Is that working? Not sure why. When everything goes wrong, it usually means that our adversary is stopping or attempting to stop the good work from taking place. But the really weird thing is my guitar, it's a very nice guitar, but it's been busted. The molding has been busted on it. And so I had taped it up, and I was trying to make it work. And anyway, I went on vacation, and I've come back, and just this morning I realized that the tape had been taken off, the binding had been rebound. This would have been something that you would have to go to a guitar shop to have done. Actually, the volume was fixed, and new strings were put on it, and I have no idea how any of this happened. So I was quite surprised and blessed by whatever took place. So if it is one of you, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I don't know who you are. Philip said it wasn't him. He was the one who I said all of this to, said that my guitar was broken, but I have no idea who it was. But I am thankful nonetheless. We have a really wonderful section of scripture in front of us. Let's ask the Lord to now open up our hearts and to help us to hear these words, not only to hear them, but to be set free by them, because the Lord would set us free. That is his intention. He intends to make us all that we were meant to be, and he does that through his word. So let's just bow our heads and pray, and then hopefully God will come and help us as we look through this idea of how to grow and these particular two examples of steps forward in faith. Let's bow our heads. So, Lord, we do ask now that you would come and be here with us, that you would cause us to come alive and to become who we were made to be as we encounter the cross and he who died for us upon it, and help us to know how to respond to this great love that has been given in Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so now I was enthralled, and I'm sure many of you were, with the series Planet Earth, David Attenborough. Who's seen this in here? Who's seen this? Anyone? Yeah? Okay, see, this is how I get people to pay attention. I see it, make them raise their hands. Yeah, so you've watched it, right? And there's a particularly memorable event, and it's really quite disturbing, actually, but it's important, and I've been told that this is normal for birds, and so here's what happens. There is a mother hen, a mother bird, and they are looking after their nest of chicks, and they've been faithfully flying to and fro with food for them. But one day, the mother says, right, this has been fun, but it's time for you lot to learn how to fly. And so she then pushes all of the chicks out of the nest, and they go flailing down to earth, right? And as they go flailing down to earth, and they're flapping their wings violently and thinking, why did mom do that? That was terrible. They hopefully begin to learn to do what's instinctive, which is to fly. They begin to think, oh, wait a minute, I've got these things, and they're not just arms. They, like, carry my weight, and I can soar through the air. And this is what it really means to be a bird. I know now what my purpose is, okay? This is as they're learning to fly. I was made for this, and now I'm going to begin doing what I was made to do. So we're in a series called Simply Add, or Add. And the purpose of this series is that we would do what is necessary for our faith to survive. And what is necessary for our faith to survive and to thrive and to be all that we are made to be is that we must continue forward. We must have forward motion. We continue onward to the goal of seeing Christ there. And if we must continue in our faith, or we'll end up getting sidetracked and finding something else to do with our lives, and then Christ may catch us unaware when he appears on that day. And now, I don't mean this in a way to condemn. I want us to be all that we were intended to be. You see, the person who gives meaning to your life is not you. It is God. He created you. And he has created a way for you to be everything that you were intended to be. And so our theme verse, which is right behind me, is 2 Peter 2, verses 5 through 7, so a few verses. Let's read it together, actually. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Very next thing it says, if you have these things in increasing amount, you will never stumble. You will be effective in the gospel, and you'll have a warm welcome into heaven. Okay, so the way forward in our faith is these things. These are actually divine attributes of God, and they're also God's weights to get us strong. We grow in these ways, and we become mature and strong. So this morning, we're only going to look at two of them, and they're stairways, actually. So you start with one, which is faith, and then the next step is goodness or virtue, and the next step is knowledge. And each one builds on top of the last one. And so we'll do the first two, goodness and knowledge. And they flow out of our faith. They flow out of our faith. And so sincere faith has to add goodness. If we're taking our metaphor that I've just given, we've got wings, faith. We must eventually fly, okay? That's goodness. We must eventually fly. That's faith acted out. And as we fly, we learn what it means to be who we are and who God is. We get knowledge. We practice obedience, and then we know that what we've done is true and right and good, and we know that the one who gave it, we know what he's like. And here's the big idea. Sincere faith must begin to produce virtue. And virtue, in turn, grows true knowledge. Sincere faith must begin to produce virtue, and virtue, in turn, grows knowledge. So let's consider that first bit. Add to faith goodness, and let's think about how faith must eventually produce good things, good works, okay? It will produce them within us. And that's going to be in James. So let's go ahead and, if you don't have your Bible open, let's turn to our Bibles. If you got your phone, just plug into the phone and just make sure you are, you know, looking online the Bible and not to something else, like the score of some game or something. And we're going to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 22. Someone who has the page number, just shout it out. It's I'm close. 1213. This is what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. All right, so James is speaking to an audience of people who have signed up to come to church. Okay, they believe, quote unquote, they say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus as my Messiah, but there's something missing from their life. Actually, the thing that is missing seems to be any sort of change because Jesus has been their Messiah. There's no action. Have you ever read the Bible or heard a sermon and you were moved in your heart? You're like, whoa, God is speaking to me, you know? And or is the preacher speaking to me? Huh? No, God, it's God. God is speaking to me. Or you read something in the Bible and God's like, that, you know that that's from the Lord. And you're moved and then you close the book, nothing changes. You're like, whoa, what happened? There was listening, but there was no doing. There was hearing, but there was no later action. Now, there are two possible reasons. There are people in the congregation that are in this setting, James says. You hear, but you don't do anything. There's two possible reasons for this. The first is, and it's a warning, isn't it? nothing changes. You don't do anything because you don't actually know Christ. There's no relationship. Okay, so Jesus warns us about this. We don't need to turn there, but Matthew 7, he says, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. He who does the will. So there's this faith connection that now has done something, right? And then just to make it explicit, verse 22, Jesus says, Matthew 7, at the door of heaven, people will be trying to get in, and they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that for you? And he'll say, well, actually, I don't know you. He'll say, depart from me, you evildoers, you who practice evil. And so again, we have this idea of they don't have a relationship. They also don't have any good deeds at all. Nothing has come out of their faith. James says, some of you are deluded. You are deceiving yourself. You're not saved. You're not on course at all. Your relationship of faith with Jesus has not produced anything. And so this is why we as Christians, we have to test ourselves. God gave us this warning for a reason. Because it is easy to fall into the idea that we, simply by coming to church, that we are now Christians. But actually, there's something more that needs to happen. We need to have this relationship that changes us and grows us, and it shows itself in fruit. Now, there's a second reason, okay? That's the negative one, really negative. There's a second reason that faith may not be producing good deeds, that you hear, but you do not do. And that's because you simply don't realize that faith, your decision to put your faith in Jesus, flips your entire life upside down and changes everything, including all the things you say and all the things you do. When my father was considering faith, he was very far from God. His whole family didn't believe in any God, and he did all sorts of really bad things, okay? He was talking to somebody who was trying to convince him that it would be good to put his trust in Jesus. And he asked, well, what do I need to give up, he said. And the lad who he was talking to said, oh, nothing. That's what he said, oh, nothing, which is a horrendous lie, okay? Now, hilariously, my father then did go to put his trust in Jesus. And you know what happened? He immediately lost all his friends. And he began to slowly lose all of these bad habits. And then something else happened. He slowly started to gain these new behaviors and new desires and to go out and to want to show love to people and to recognize Christ as having changed him. His whole world flipped upside down. And this is not wrong. This is what is supposed to happen. But sometimes we don't understand that that's what's supposed to happen. We think I can make a commitment to God and that's it. But actually, you're new now. Things have changed. We have faith in Jesus. God cleanses us. He gives us new hearts, a new life. We were dead before. We're alive now, and he calls us a new creation. And what do we want most to do now? We want to be like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? Every bit of his life was this selfless, righteous servicing of others, caring for them, loving them, showing them compassion. That's our new reason to wake up in the morning. To go do that. That's our new reason for being. What do I want out of this life? I want to go and love like Jesus. I want to go and show mercy and kindness and grace to others. I want to have integrity and to deal with people in an honest and good way and in a truthful way. And so James actually gives this great illustration of the forgetful Christian, okay? The hearer, not doer, who looks at himself in the mirror intently. Now, there's some painters, and they have done self-portraits, and they're so talented that they don't need to see a picture of themselves to paint a self-portrait. They have been looking carefully at themselves. And they can do it, having taken very cautious and good looking at who they were. But here, this Christian gets the self-portrait and walks out the door, and immediately he forgets who he is. He has no idea who he is anymore. Have you ever done something you really regret, and it's time to say sorry to the person that you've offended? And in the course of saying sorry, you said, I can't believe I did that. That's that's not at all like my character. That's what you say. It's not at all who I am. And that's true for all Christians, actually. When we go out and we do things that are wicked and wrong and evil, we've lost sight of who we are now. We've lost sight of what Christ has done. We're forgetful. We're like Dory, the fish. And who am I? Where am I? What am I doing? We need to remember. Now, how do we remember? That's the question. How do we remember? We remember actually through having God's word and then doing it. Having God's word and doing it. Okay, so here, verse 25. Let's just look together here. It says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So even though we are a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, even though that this has been hardwired in our heart, it's in our DNA to want to live for God and not for self anymore, still we need something to keep us on track. And what does God give us to keep us on track? This is it. This is God's tool to keep you remembering who he is and who you are. Here it's called the law that brings freedom. It's the whole statement about the Bible, that we cannot do anything on our own to earn God's favor, but that God has sent Jesus to die our death, to pay our penalty, and to live again so that we could have the new heart and to live out our days before him. The big message of the Bible, but also the daily reading of all of these stories, this will keep us as we habitually and regularly go to it. It will keep us focused on what we actually do. So here's what you are to do, actually. You read the Bible, you think about what's there, and then you think, how does this change what I do? And then you go do it, right? It's reading, but then you don't just stop there. You go and do. You don't just read it because you're ticking the box of having to read every day because Tim made me do it again. You read and you say, how can I go and make what is here a reality? How can I be Christ's hands and feet? We'll get to that in just a little bit. We go and we practice what we have been preached to, what we've heard. We make it our own. This is as important to knowing the things about the Bible, both knowing it, but then taking action upon it. We apply it. We don't forget. So can we see how important it is to daily read our Bibles and read it in a way that produces action? This is what we are meant to do. Okay, we have the wings. We are the new creation. But we must remind ourselves, today it is time to fly. Today it is time to fly. And the way we do that is by being in community with God, being in community with his word, being in community with the law that gives liberty and life and freedom. Sincere faith must begin to produce virtue, and virtue in turn leads to knowledge. Let's talk about that second step. Add to goodness knowledge. When virtue is by faith lived out, it leads us to know what is good and to know who is good. Okay, God. We learn about who God is when we do what is good, and we know that it is true. Okay, anyway, this is going to be Philippians 3 now. So let's turn to Philippians 3. It's backwards. And again, if you find it first, yell it out, the number. Page 1180. We're going to start in verse 7. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Now, let's jump down to verse 10 here. "I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so, in some way or at some time, attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Attaining from the resurrection from the dead. All right, so there are two types of knowing that we can think about, okay? The first type of knowing is knowing about things, facts, procedures, how things function. And you can know these things without being anywhere near the thing that you're observing, in a sense. Okay, so consider the sun. Okay, we can know to some extent right now all of the chemical reactions that are going on in the middle of our sun, but we are not there observing them directly, right? It's not the same as having an experience of the sun up close. It's knowing facts about it. Now, these knowledges that we're talking about here are experiential knowing. Learning as we do. Learning what is true by testing the truth. Two illustrations that I hope are going to help us understand. This is kind of the difficult portion of the sermon, but stick with me. Okay, here's the first one. There's a person reading the Bible. They don't believe. They get to the parts that are saying to do things, and they think, if I put this into practice, it's going to destroy all my fun. I'm not going to get to do anything I want to do. These things help me to feel alive. I can't believe the Bible would say stop doing them and to do other things. But you know what? He says, I'll stick with it. I'll give it a shot for a time, and I'll just see what happens. So they do. And they discover that God was right. That if they do the things that he says, it changes the whole course of their life, and this vibrant joy starts to flow into their hearts, and they go, oh my goodness, the truth actually is true. It is actually right. And this is one way that we grow in knowledge. We understand that the truth that God has given us, as we've practiced it, has been shown to be actually what was best for us. As we live out the truth, we discover it's correct and true, and we gain wisdom. And so Paul says here, I had thought that there was this way to get what I wanted and to be pleasing before God. And whatever those things were that I thought were gain to me, over the course of my life, God has redirected me, and I've walked in the path of suffering and then in the path of faith, and I've realized that all that stuff is rubbish compared to knowing Christ. You see what's happened? His whole world has flipped, and it's flipped pragmatically. He actually was trying to live by faith, and in so doing, he realized, this is the right way to go. I want to know Christ. And there's a real sense in which we do not grow until we do and realize in the doing that it is, in fact, true. I'll give you another illustration. This is a funny one anyway. You have a grandfather. Long-lost grandfather. You've never met this person. They pass away before you ever get that chance. But one day you are at their house, and you're rummaging through their stuff. And he was a sort of Indiana Jones-like figure. He went on these various adventures for treasure, and you heard all about these adventures that he went on. And one day as you're rummaging through his stuff, you find a box, and inside the box there's like hundreds of treasure maps and detailed instructions about how to get these things. And you have a few days of break and you think, hey, wait a minute, I could give this a go. And you pick up one of the treasure maps and one of the instructions, and you buy a ticket to Marrakesh or some other place that's exotic, I suppose. And you go down there and you begin to follow his examples and to go to this place and to go to that place and to try to find this treasure. And some, perhaps you find something pretty amazing. But in the process, you have vicariously lived out his life. And you learn something about him and about who he was, even though you weren't there for that part. And so as we practice God's royal law, we learn about God's royal heart. We learn about who he is. When we practice his ways, it makes us share in his thoughts and share in his deeds and have community with him and see what he's really like. And Paul says here, I want to know him. The power of his resurrection. And then he says something very interesting, something that would probably disturb us. I even want to suffer like he suffered, he says, so that I could understand a bit of who he really is. And this isn't just for Paul, you see. If you've signed on to be a Christian,
God's like, you're going to walk in the way of Christ, and as you walk that way, you will learn of the love that my son has for you. As you suffer for the kingdom, you will learn of the one who suffered all for the kingdom and for you. As you suffer for others so that they might live, you will learn of the one who suffered for you so that you might live. There is a knowledge that you can gain as you do what is right, as you walk in the kingdom, and the knowledge is you get to know Christ here on this earth. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that even a bit scary? But it's good, and that's what he says. I even want to be likened to him in suffering, and even here in death. And he's thinking, I'm going to die soon, and I want to die for faith, and it is going to be a joy to be able to offer my life in a little way like Jesus offered his life on the cross. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm coming to it. So as we live out our faith, we become virtuous, and those virtues, they help us to see God's goodness, God's heart, God's character. Sincere faith must begin to produce virtue, and virtue in turn leads to the knowledge of God. What can we take away from this lesson? So first caveat, this is not intended to make you feel bad. Perhaps you don't feel like you're growing, and you're sitting here listening to you ought to be doing more and you're not doing more. And you're sitting here listening to you ought to know Christ and you don't feel like you know Christ. The idea is if you're a believer in Christ, you got wings and it's time to fly. That's a good thing, isn't it? You got wings. Don't you want to fly? Don't you want to experience all that you were made for? Don't you want to have the joy of knowing who you are in Christ? Of course you do. Last week, I encouraged you the way to start growing is just to do something. Just do something for God. Something that maybe you haven't done before. And then the next day do something. And the next day do something. Now, who's done that this week? Who said, okay, Tim, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to do something each day new for Christ. If you haven't, you have a restart here this morning, okay? We're going to get more specific. God is actually requiring us, and he's calling us to do something. And the thing he wants us to do is to read our Bibles every day, okay? With an open heart, and then to say, I will apply something of what I read here. Today, after I read it, I will believe it, and I will apply it, and I will let it change me. The Puritans, they're interesting people. The Puritans, they said, you're going to read the Bible every day. And they said, how long should we read? And they say, well, I don't know. Here's what you do, they said. You just keep reading until you run into the part that you know God is telling you to do something. Just keep going until you find God's words to you that day. And so that's what they did. They would just sit in the morning, 6 o'clock, whatever it is. Usually it's very early. They get up at 5, they're reading the Bible, and they keep going until they're like, God is saying something to me here. He is telling me to get up and do something, and I'm going to do it today. And they would. Do that too. Read the Bible daily. Do what it says. Pattern your life in that way. It would be such a sad waste to life to spend it on other things and not get that. Because you're not growing. If you want to start growing, what do? We know what's in God's word, and we go out and we apply it. And this means that there's a regimen that takes place. Now, don't be legalistic about it, but you're going to have to choose to try to do these things. If you want to grow. If you don't want to grow, not a big deal. But then you miss out on all these things that you were made for. Second thing to think about. The kingdom work causes us a knowledge about the sweetness of our Savior, a knowledge of Christ. Part of experiencing who Christ is, this one who has died for you, it only comes in living out his mission. Going and daring to care for somebody besides yourself. Going and praying, God, help me to tell them about your love. I promise you, the greatest feeling of joy and purpose and intention that you could ever feel, you won't find it in wealth, You won't find it in seeking pleasures. You won't find it in determining your life's meaning on your own. You will find it in the middle of doing Christian service. And I know because I have found it there. And the Spirit of God will come, and the joy of the Lord will be around you, and you will know He is with you, and you will be saying, I am a bird, and here I am flying. I am flying for my King. You will do what you were made to do. Don't miss it. Don't miss out on experiencing the love that your Savior has for you, and that's what you're realizing. You see, when we go out and we serve, all we're doing is we're imitating the one who has served us, and we learn in the serving who He is, and we worship Him more. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Lord, help us to have good deeds that are